The Gospel according to John chapter 1, starting at verse 19, the Word of God. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that send us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Then our text, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.' And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Amen. I mentioned the text, verse 29. I'd like to preach on that verse by way of the theme, John's pointing the people to Jesus as he saw him coming to him. As the Lamb of God to behold. Beloved congregation, John had been preaching for about 6 months at the Jordan River. The recurring theme of his preaching had been repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the king of that kingdom will be the judge. And he will separate the wheat and the chaff. Many people had come to hear that preaching. And there were some who through his preaching had repented. John was not only a preacher. He was also a baptizer. He baptized those who came to him confessing their sins and expressing their need for forgiveness. In his preaching, John had also said something already about the king. But he had not yet pointed him out. At first, he did not know him. Now he had come to know him, but he had not yet pointed him out. One day, there came a delegation from the Sanhedrin, specifically from the Pharisees. They asked John, "Who are you?" You see, the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem had heard about John, his preaching and his baptizing, and his tremendous following. They didn't know him. He had not been trained by them. They decided to send a delegation to check him out. And they came to John. And they said, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" "No." "Are you Elijah?" "No." "Who are you? Are you then that prophet that Moses had said would come?" "No." Who are you? Very modestly, John said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. I've been sent to prepare the way of the Lord. He is much greater than I am. I am not even worthy to untie the latchet of his sandals. You don't know him, but he is already standing among you. John said that because he saw him standing among the people. John knew him. Just the other day, he had baptized him. Jesus had said, will you baptize me? And a little later he did. And at that time, when that Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove and abided on him, then John knew who he was. And not only who he was, but also what he was going to be doing. So Jesus saw John standing among the people. But he was not allowed yet to point him out. All he said was, whom you do not know is standing among you. Why was he not allowed yet to point him out? Because it was not up to John to determine the moment that he might single out Jesus. That was a moment the Father of the Lord Jesus had determined. And Jesus would signal it to John. And he would not do so till that moment. That happened the very next day. Verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming to him. That's how our text starts this morning. And now he's going to point him out as the Lamb, as I said, as the Lamb of God, as I said, to behold. Let's look at that. John is standing there preaching, and among the people he sees Jesus standing. And at one moment, Jesus steps away from the people. And he comes forward to John. So he takes his place in between the people and John. And now he gives John a signal. Now you may point me out, John. And John understood it. And he lifted his hand and he pointed to Jesus. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. That was the climax of the work of John. Behold, the Lamb of God. Why did he speak those words? Why did he not say, behold, the Christ that you've been waiting for, that the Father spoke of? He didn't say that. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Why the Lamb? Do you know? Why the Lamb? Who was John? John was the forerunner of Jesus. Who was John? John was the son of a priest, Zacharias, the son of Aaron, and Elizabeth, the daughter of Aaron. You will know that the priesthood went from father to son. So John was a priest as well. He did not function as a priest in Jerusalem, but he did function here in the wilderness as priest. God used him as priest. On the great day of atonement in the Old Testament, every year the high priest had to point, as it were, with his finger to the animal that was going to be killed. You will remember that. Leviticus chapter 16. He had to actually take two goats. They were goats. And he had to present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle. And then he would cast lots over the two goats. The one would be killed, sacrificed, and the other would be sent into the wilderness as a scapegoat. And that's what happened. The lot would be cast. The high priest would point out which animal then was to be slaughtered, and he was slaughtered. And then with the blood of that goat, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle of that blood on the mercy seat there. And then he would come out of the Holy of Holies, and there stood the other goat. And then he would call somebody to take that scapegoat, as he is called in the Bible. And then that animal was taken into the wilderness. That's how it had been happening in the Old Testament, year after year. But it was always a goat. A goat. Here, John the priest may point to the Lamb of God. Why a lamb, you say? Because you just talked about goats. It reminds us of another event in the Old Testament which really stood out in the memory of Israel. The 10th plague in Egypt, when the destroyer, the angel of destruction, would go through Egypt and strike every firstborn of man and beast in all the houses of the Egyptians and also of the Israelites. That's right. Because the Israelites were not any better. All had come short of the glory of God. And so the destroyer would be sent also to the land of Goshen. Would then all the firstborn in the houses of the Israelites also be struck down? No, God would pass over if a lamb, a male, a year old, without blemish, either from the sheep we read in Exodus 12 or from the goats, had been slaughtered, and of the blood they had struck on the posts of the door and the lintel of the door of the house, as a sign that there had been a substitutionary death. And then the Lord had said that they were to all be inside the house, behind that door, with blood. Only then would they be safe. Then the destroyer would see, hear, substitution has taken place. The shadow of him who was to come, the Lamb of God. And that's what John is doing here. So do you see what John is doing, congregation? As a priest, he pointed out the lamb, the sacrificial animal, as it were. Not an animal, but he is called a lamb. He is God. He is the Son of God. He assumed flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. But he is the lamb that John here pointed out. And notice that John was a priest, but he was not only a priest. He also was a prophet. Jesus would say that later on in Matthew chapter 11, verse 9, when he asked the people, "What went ye out for to see in the wilderness when you went to John? A prophet?" "Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." So John was a prophet. And when he spoke here, he pointed him out as the priest. He also was the prophet. And a prophet before John, Isaiah 53, had said, "Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he opened not his mouth." From Isaiah 53, there runs a line all the way to the river Jordan, where John is preaching and baptizing. And that line continues throughout the New Testament congregation. You can think of Paul writing to the church in Corinth in the first epistle, chapter 5, verse 7. There he says, "For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. And you can think in terms of the verse in our bulletin from Revelation 21, verse 23, where it speaks that the Lamb is the light thereof. And you can think, I think there are 28 references in the book of Revelation to the Lamb. John in Revelation 5 saw the Lamb standing, remember, in the midst of the throne. And it stood there as it had been slain. The Lamb. But let's move to our second consideration, that it was not just a Lamb, but it was the Lamb. And it was not just the Lamb, but it was the Lamb of God. You see, the other lambs in the Old Testament for the Passover sacrifice, they were lambs of the Israelites. Remember, Exodus 12 says that they each family, for each household, they had to take a lamb for themselves. They had to take the lamb from their flock. They had to look after that animal at their own home for 4 days. And then they had to sacrifice that lamb that they owned. But man did not own this lamb, Jesus. He was the Lamb of God. God had given this lamb. God, in His incomprehensible love for sinners, had given this lamb for the fallen world. Man didn't contribute anything to this sacrifice, to this lamb congregation. This lamb had come from where? From the throne of God. This lamb had come, you might say, out of the thoughts of God from eternity, thoughts of peace. And He had assumed flesh and blood, as I said, of the Virgin Mary, but He continued to be God Himself, the second person in the Holy Trinity, the Lamb of God. And God had not only given Him, God also accepted Him. He had said that in His baptism the day before. This is My Son, in whom I am pleased. And when Jesus willingly submitted Himself to be buried under the water of God's judgment sacramentally in baptism, when Jesus had declared that He was willing to bear the punishment due to the sins of His people, pay the debt, fulfill all righteousness, He was the Lamb of God in whom God was pleased. And the Paschal Lamb had to be without blemish. You will remember, if there ever was a Lamb without blemish, it was this Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And notice that John spoke about the sin, not sins, of the world. He could have spoken about the sins too. And there are innumerable sins of the world, congregation, with thoughts and words and deeds. But when John spoke about the sin of the world, he went to the very fountain of sin, the corrupt fountain from which all sins come. He pointed to the depravity of man's heart. That's man by nature, congregation. And God in His Word does not only say that about terrible criminals in this world, and not only about the Gentiles, but also about the Jews. The sin. What had this Lamb of God come to do? He had come to do something about the sin. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin, the depravity." He came to take it, to bear it away. Think of that picture. As I said, the high priest, after he came from the Holy of Holies, he would see that other goat standing there. And then what would he do? Remember what he would do? Then he would walk up to that animal and he would lay his hands on that, on the head of that animal, as it were, symbolically to transfer the sin of Israel upon that animal. And then he commanded somebody from the people, take this animal, take this goat into the wilderness. And then he would take this goat to the wilderness, far, far away from the camp of Israel. That's how it's put in Leviticus 16. Far, far away. And there he would release that goat that bore the sin of the people. And sooner or later that animal would die. That scapegoat bore, took away, symbolically, was a shadow of the Lamb to come, bore away the sin of the people, from the people, from view of the people, far away. That's a picture of far from east and west, as far as east and west is distant. He has all our sins removed. That's what John saw this Lamb doing. He did not say, behold the Lamb of God that shall take away, future tense, later on the cross, present tense, that taketh away. He is already taking away the sin of the world. That sin of the world is already on him. John must have thought back to what happened the day before when he was baptized and when he willingly submitted to go under as the substitute and to bear the sin and to bear the sin till God would take the sin from him, congregation. It's as our Heidelberg Catechism puts in Lord's Day 15. We looked at that some months ago. There it says that he bore that burden all the days of his life. From the very moment of his conception till the very end. And the longer he carried that burden, the heavier that burden got to be for the Lord Jesus, congregation. He had to go to the wilderness. It's actually remarkable that right from baptism in Matthew's gospel and in Luke you have something similar. He goes from the Jordan into the wilderness for 40 days. That is to be tempted. That's a special facet of his work as well. We won't bring that into it in detail now, just to mention it. But his life was actually in a sense of going into the wilderness. And we hear him say on his way to the wilderness, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened. That means how great is my distress till it be accomplished. You can read it in Luke chapter 12, verse 50. What do you see then when you see Jesus there in Luke chapter 12, verse 50? You see, as it were, the scapegoat, congregation, walking into the wilderness, and later you see him walking into Gethsemane. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was in agony, exceedingly sorrowful. And he was left there by himself. His three disciples that he had taken with him could not watch with him even for 1 hour. He suffered the loneliness of the wilderness. Later, all his disciples forsook him. And then there came the moment of the heaviest part of the sacrifice, darkness over all the earth, when he was on the cross from 12 to 3 o'clock, congregation. And he suffered there the loneliness of the wilderness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Darkness in his soul. Jesus in the wilderness, bearing the sin away, further away, further away, away. Don't think lightly of these passages in the Bible, congregation. Don't quickly read through any such passage in the Gospels. Because there what you and I are given to see is the sin bearer for the redemption of sinners. There you have the description of the indescribable sinner's love, not only of God the Father, but of God the Son. And there you have a description of what he did. Ye were bought with a price. That's how he is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. Did you hear John preaching this Lamb of God? The gospel of reconciliation, not at the expense of God's justice, but Jesus was satisfying God's justice in every respect, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So in this one little verse, John preached the whole gospel, and how John had longed to preach this gospel. What a great day it was for John to be permitted to preach this Lamb of God, when Jesus himself had given the signal to John by moving away from the crowd of people up to John. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The world. What would that mean, congregation? The world. Cosmos. The world. The Heidelberg Catechism uses a similar expression in that Lord's Day 15 that I just referred to. There it says that Christ bore the wrath of God against the sin of all mankind, the whole human race. It does not mean that now everyone has been saved from sin, but it refers to what was it now that Christ bore. He bore that wrath of God. And it was the wrath of God against the sin of the world. And it also means that taketh away the sin of the world. It means that there is sufficiency to this Savior. Sufficient to save everyone. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. Even if everyone in the world would plead on it, he would never say, no, there is no more blood left, because his blood is sufficient, congregation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there is enough power in the blood of Jesus for every sinner to pray, O Lord, apply it to my heart. Wash away my sin by thy blood. But a person must feel his need for it, congregation, and must learn to ask for it. For notice, and I move to my final point, that I left out a word in our text, behold. Behold the Lamb of God. It actually says, not behold the Lamb of God, so that the focus is, now you're going to have to do this, even though that is also true. But it actually says, behold, exclamation mark, or if you wish, comma, the Lamb. And then the Lamb of God is the subject of the text, congregation. But nevertheless, behold. And John doesn't merely say, he's preaching, take a quick look, as we sometimes do, and we say, oh, I see. And then John continued to speak where he had been speaking about before. No, when John said, behold, he called for a behold in faith. John preached Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In a sense, he preached the gospel without restriction, congregation. But he did it with the command, behold. And that's the command to repent and believe. Behold, he directed them to him so that they would see what he saw. What did he see, congregation? What did John see? Nothing special to his physical eyes. Because from Isaiah 53 we know that Jesus had no appearance that we should desire him. He had no form nor comeliness to the natural eye. There was nothing special about the Lord Jesus, but a special beholding was necessary, namely the beholding of Him in faith. Or as Flavel says in a sermon on this text, congregation, with affection and admiration. But that's the command. John looked. His eye had been opened. His heart had been opened. I knew Him not. He says in verse 31. Now he did know Him. And he desired the people to whom he had been preaching, and especially the people who had declared that they knew their sin and they needed a washing away of their sins and a repentance of their sin. John desired that they especially, but also the others, would look to Him in faith. And that's still the same today, congregation. There is no other gospel. Picture that again. Jesus stepped away from the crowd, in between John and the crowd. And John pointed to Him. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's the gospel this morning. No, the Lord Jesus is not in our midst physically in the sense that He was there at the Jordan River. But He does walk here in the garment of the Scriptures, congregation. And I may point Him out this morning as the Lamb that you and I need as the only means to atone for our sins. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You must behold Him. Where is your sin? Where is your sin? Is your sin still on your conscience? Does your sin still lie on you? Are you still unrepentant, unbelieving? Anyone here who still is interested more in the things of this world? The things that give pleasure on earth? There is a day coming that you and I must give account to this Lamb of God who will be the judge. And if here you have not come to see your need of Him and have not come to behold Him in faith and with affection, you will encounter Him as the judge, because He will separate wheat and chaff. And you know what He will do with the chaff. He will burn it with unquenchable fire. Why with unquenchable fire? Because that's what our sins deserve. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. And when He took the sin of the world on Him, congregation, where did He go? He went to the place, that's where He ended. He went to the place of unquenchable fire of God's wrath. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? What will happen to those persons who perhaps heard the gospel but did not behold the Lamb of God in true faith and with affection? Their sin will bring them to that place of unquenchable fire, outer darkness, the wilderness. And that's where they belong. Those persons who bear their own sins unto the end. And it will be without ending. Do you realize what you are doing? When on the one hand you and I may hear, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But on the other hand you don't behold. What shall happen if you neglect so great a salvation? If you do not behold this Savior in faith and with affection and admiration, if you do not come to know His sinner's love for you, the Bible says, then there remains no more sacrifice for sins. And there is no other means to escape the well-deserved judgment of God, congregation. Is there anyone here whose heart this morning is stirred as this Lamb of God is proclaimed, and yet he feels or she feels, I need Him, but He is not mine. There's something in between. I know my need of Him. I desire in my heart to know Him. And I pray, I've prayed already for so long. Oh God, open my eyes. I'm so blind to it. But I know there is something in between. I see Him, but I don't behold Him the way I have to behold Him. I can't come to that. What is it? What is in between? For many people, it is this, congregation, that they have other lambs. Their prayers, their repentance, their seriousness, their religion. They are the other lambs, other than the Lamb. And those lambs look good, without blemish even. But they are stained by sin. Your repentance, stained by... But I received that from God, you may say. I understand. If you truly repented, if you receive that repentance from God, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's a gift from God. But repentance is not the Lamb of God, congregation. Prayer is not the Lamb of God. And if you make a lamb out of your prayer and your repentance, then the Lamb of God will remain at a distance. Behold! Yes, but that's not an easy thing. I realize that. To look quickly is an easy thing. But to behold, do you know who did that? Those in the Old Testament who had been bitten by a snake. And there were so many, they were dying in their tents. And Moses had to make a bronze snake. And the message went through the camp. Everyone that's dying, look upon that bronze serpent lifted up on a pole. Perhaps they had to be dragged out of their tents, congregation. But those who understood that, there is no other remedy than to look upon that serpent, maybe with their eyes already almost broken by death. There they looked. It was the only remedy. And you and I have to let go of so many things in order that we may behold the Lamb of God. Give up the other lambs as lambs. Do pray. Do repent. But the only Lamb of God is Jesus, Son of God. In incomprehensible love, He gave Himself for the chief of sinners. Amen.